Welcome back to Community Connections. I'm still Alan Collier, and being the fourth Wednesday of the month, we've got our local MP, Cindy McLeish. Now, we haven't got Cindy for a lot of time because, unfortunately, well, when I say unfortunately, she's out earning her money. She's actually doing what she's paid to do, to be sitting in Parliament. But welcome, Cindy.
Thank you very much, Alan, and good afternoon, everybody. And yes, I think this is the last one for quite a while where I'll have a clash with Parliament in my time on the radio.
No, that's fair enough. We appreciate your time anyway.
Well, we've struggled a bit with the connection and all sorts of things, but next time I'll be able to do it in the studio.
Yeah, that'll be true. And probably by then, oh, I'm not sure for April, we might still be here, but it's certainly in May we'll be up at Hillsville.
Well, the next one's at the 26th of April, so...
I think we'll still be here, to be honest. I'll let you know as we get close. Cindy, I know a few people have complained, and I've complained to you too, that which is not... we don't talk about me on this show, but quite a few of us have had trouble with the Warburton Highway, with potholes all over the place, and they fix them one day, and they're bad again the next.
That's right. You know, there are lots of problems with the Warburton Highway. In fact, I think it was the Maroondah Highway this morning that there was a truck. I think it was the Maroondah. I don't think it was the Warburton Highway. The Hillsville Cooey Rup Road, there was a truck overturned. But part of the Warburton Highway collapsed. It was before the election. So it was October, November last year. And they've had to have one lane going in and out of Warburton, which has been a problem, but at least people have been able to get in and out, because the old Warburton Road up around through the hills isn't really suitable for a whole lot of traffic.
Yep.
And so they were looking at fixing it in January, and then a lot of the traders said, this is a bit of a problem for us because this is a really busy time. We need to have the road open because it looks as though it's got to be a closure. Then apparently they were going to do it at night, and apparently the noise was a bit of a problem. So I think they're just trying to work out the strategy at the moment. I did speak to the minister directly about it yesterday.
Yep.
And she had, and this was some good news, she had met with the council to talk about it. So, it's certainly on their radar, because they have to work out the best way to fix the road, because, it really does need fixing. It's on the bend, it's on the river. And so, they've got to stabilise it and get things happening. But, it's a big job.
Yep, and, pardon me, no matter when it's done, there'll always be some people that it doesn't suit at that time, will it?
Absolutely. And this is what's really difficult. And, Vic Roads did work with the community to keep it open in the really busy months because, Warburton's a key tourist destination. It's a beautiful place. Yep. The splash park's terrific. The waterside, the river at the back behind the shops is just beautiful. And, kids can get in on lilos and tubes and go around the river. And, there's lots to do in Warburton.
Absolutely.
But I went there the other day, a couple of days ago, or maybe last week, and, the traffic wasn't too bad. But when it's really busy, you might be held up for 20 minutes or something like that. But, we've got the problem of school buses and things like that for secondary kids, that have to get through. So they've got to work out a few issues. So hopefully that the minister can work with the council to get it organised.
Is it a council? It wouldn't be a council road, would it? Is it a Vic Roads road?
No, but it's a Vic Roads road, but the council need to be part of knowing what's happening.
Yep.
Because it affects a lot of their issues and emergency services and things like that. So they have to also have contingency plans.
Yeah, I never thought of that, because that is one of those things, isn't it? I mean, you can't have ambulances and police and fire trucks and police held up in great queues, can you?
No, and it's tricky. So, they've got to work out the best way. And it does require a few government agencies talking to each other as well. But, people have to be able to get in and get out, and whether they can, close it just during the day between, 8 and 4 or 8 and 3 or something. I'm not sure, but the minister said she'd give me a briefing so I'll be able to let people know.
Terrific.
So exactly what's happening.
I've just got to take a quick break. I'm just about to have a big cough, and I'll come straight back to you, Cindy.
Thank you.
welcome back to Community Connections, and we have with me Cindy McLeish. Unfortunately, well, fortunately or unfortunately, she has to leave to be part of the Parliament this afternoon, but we've got Cindy for another few minutes. Cindy, the local football is about to come back.
That's right. The Outer East football and netball is about to get a move on in the middle of April. It starts back, and they had an event the other night for all of the clubs at Rochford, and they had a whole lot of sponsors there as well, and you know, a guest speaker, and just to start to get the excitement happening. Life memberships were awarded, I think, to seven people that you know, had done, you know, a lot of work over a lot of years. Certainly from my area, Peter Potsiadley is one who's known quite well. I wasn't so familiar with the Gembrook and Emerald, the people that were awarded life membership. But, you know, it was a pretty good crowd, and Rochford are really quite supportive. And they had some good sponsors. And they also had SALT, which is an organisation that does a lot of mental health work with clubs that go around and run different workshops, so they can kind of identify whether people are struggling with a few things. And they've worked with many of the clubs in the area, and it's been terrific as well. So, you know, David Burt was there. And it's a good thing that company SALT, you know, for other people, if they're thinking, hey, they might need some assistance with young people and mental health, that, you know, they could probably contact their footy club and get, well, me, and, you know, get a hook into it easily.
That's terrific, isn't it? Well, it's yeah, terrific it really to see, because, I mean, once upon a time, that, football clubs that didn't worry about anything like that, did they?
No, and in fact, one of the football clubs said to me that they ran a session and they had no idea that somebody actually in the club was really struggling.
True.
And it was identified through this process, so they could kind of put things in place and set up a few support mechanisms around that young man to help him and to make sure he didn't fall through the cracks.
Yeah, well, that's important. Cindy, we've just had International Women's Day.
We have just had International Women's Day, and I'm Shadow Minister for Women, and let me tell you how busy my calendar was.
Oh, I bet it was.
Early March, and, you know, many, many organisations have events for International Women's Day, and, you know, there's things that we've come a long way, you know, like, remember women couldn't drink in front bars and things like that, and couldn't be members of certain clubs, and they're trying to, you know, really level that up. Say, like, you know, racing clubs, and Melbourne Cricket Club was another, and the representation in Parliament. So there's still ways to go. There's a gender pay gap, which is real, and we've still got to do a lot more about that. But I was talking to one of my colleagues who's done a lot of work in Africa, and, you know, International Women's Day in Africa is really, really big.
Is it?
Because a lot of the countries over there don't have, you know, the women don't have a voice, or don't have the voice equivalent, equal to men.
Yep, yep.
So, you know, and like I went to, there was multicultural events for Women's Day, you know, and Respect Victoria. There were so many different things that I ended up going to. And one of the things, actually not related to International Women's Day, but certainly indirectly related, was I had a briefing at each recently, and I spoke with one of the Purple Church in Junction.
Yep.
I spoke with one of the financial counsellors, and who talked about some of the difficulty a number of women have found themselves in for various situations, but also the link with gambling and violence.
Yep.
So, you know, I've sort of been doing a lot of thinking and listening in that space, because sometimes, you know, women, as they get older, they may not have access to their own finances. The other person in the relationship may have controlled the finances.
Yep.
And that's why I think, you know, it's important that we talk to a lot of younger people to make sure that, you know, they do have some financial independence, because if things go belly up in a relationship, you want to be able to land on your feet.
Absolutely.
As best you can.
And it's also almost bullying when the other partner takes so much control over the finances that a person can't do anything, isn't it?
Oh, look, it is. It certainly is. And, you know, in some cultures, as we heard at one of the multicultural sessions, that the police are the last people if there's violence, you know.
Mm.
If things like that start to happen, or people feel that they've lost everything, and sometimes people end up on the streets. It's pretty horrible. But, you know, they're not going to get not just police, but any of the agencies involved, because in their own countries, that's not what they would do. They wouldn't have those, and they'd be really worried. So, you know, you've kind of got a bit of a double-edged sword for some of them. So it's understanding that all of these issues are different from people with different backgrounds.
Absolutely. And the other thing too, that very often, and you being the opposition on women's affairs, I mean, some of these women, if the relationship breaks down where they're in their late 50s, early 60s, they haven't got the superannuation to support themselves either, have they, having not worked for a long time, some of them?
No, that's right. And that's why I think the compulsory superannuation is a good thing, and especially for people from, you know, who are starting work, that the money just gets beavered away every time you work, you know. But what happens too is women take a break often out of the workforce with kids, and so while they're taking a break, their super's not continuing to grow.
And they could be out for 20 years, some of them, can't they, by the time, you know.
And it's different. Everybody makes a different decision. Some might be out for a couple of years, two or three times for a year at a time. Some might stay out for 6 or 7 years or up.
Yeah.
You know, and then people return part-time. And this is where, you know, we see the pay gap really come in, and then we certainly see it at the superannuation end, where women end up with less. So, you know, we're talking about it, people are talking about it, sometimes men are starting to talk about this, so this is a good thing. But, you know, we've still got to recognise that people have different backgrounds and different situations, and it's just not the same for everyone.
Now, Cindy, you want to tell us about some child raising money. I'd love to hear this story.
You've got to love the kids that look at raising money. A few years ago we had... Charlie at Yarra Junction wanted to raise money, I think, for new cricket nets, and I think they got them after he left.
Oh, no.
Charlie Ward, I think it was. And now at Healesville Primary School, a bunch of students are all pitching in to raise money to replace some of the playground equipment. And I was contacted by Macy, a little girl in grade four, who asked, you know, what I could do to help. She was out helping, asking a lot of businesses and things if they could help, and it's great to see. So I went to the school and gave her a hamper that she could use as part of a monster raffle, I think, that they were looking at having as well. So, you know, good on Macy, good on her friends for
She's only in grade four.
She's only in grade four, and, you know, I did go to the assembly, and the principal at Healesville, Tracy Robertson-Smith, you know, she was, you know, like, and the staff, everybody just thought it was such a great story that kids, okay, well, what are we going to do about it? We're not going to sit back. Let's get on the front foot and let's see what we can do. So good on those kids at Healesville Primary.
Ah, that's terrific. Now, Chum Creek is starting to get into a fairly significant birthday, isn't it?
Well, they've just clocked over. They're 125 years.
Gee.
I know, a little school like Chum Creek.
Yep.
And it was a boiling hot day too.
Oh, no.
But they've got this really great outdoor covered area. It's particularly good, so it's got good airflow, and they had music and entertainment, and they did the big... They've had on the oval... you know, everyone had to stand in a formation, which when you took it from above, the drone, it showed 125. So, you know, we all had to stand in a certain spot. It was terrific, you know, because it is a small school. Small school with a big heart, and certainly, you know, they put on a good celebration. And you get things to sell, you know, like some of the wine growers bottle particular, you know, for them to on sell.
Oh,
so you're still getting a good bottle of wine at $25 or whatever. But, you know, it allows you to make $1,000 here, and, you know, the cake was a ripper. And there were lots of people, former students that were there, as well as current students. It was terrific.
Yeah, 125 years for a little school is terrific, isn't it?
It is. And, do you know, there's a place for little schools, because not everyone fits in easily at a big school. For some, little schools are too little, but for others they're just right. And you know, also for people living in that area, if you've you know, it depends where you're working, it's helpful having something really quite local.
And obviously, if it's been going 125 years, there's a need for it.
Absolutely. absolutely. And Mick, the principal there, you know, has been doing a great job. I think they've had a bit of a problem with a tree coming down over one of the classrooms, and they can't use that at the minute. But other than that, everybody, you know, seemed really happy. Tabitha, the school council president, you and her committee did a terrific job. And, you know, it's always great when you go and look at some of the old photos and you see people with different style uniforms and hair and activities over the years.
And uniforms and all that sort of stuff. It certainly changed, haven't they?
Oh, certainly. Certainly. But, no, I congratulate everybody at Chum Creek for their, you know, for the effort that they put in and for getting to that major milestone.
Yeah, it's a great effort. Cindy, look, thank you for your time. I know you've got to go. We're really grateful, and hopefully we'll see you in the studio at the fourth Wednesday of April.
The studio in Healesville, which, you know, I have been to. I did go to the opening there with the Lion's Den. Yep. They've moved, and just on that, I see that the council at Yarra Ranges are seeking feedback on Lilydale Road because where you are at the back of it, you know, you've... There's a few traffic issues.
Yeah, we don't want the accidents up there now.
No, we don't want any accidents, but they've, you know, remodelled it and done all the, you know, car parking's not angle parking, it's straight, and I think a lot of people are complaining about that. But if you need to put your two bobs worth in, have a look on the council website and provide your feedback if you can.
No worries. Thank you very much, Cindy, and we'll look forward to talking to you next month.
Okay, bye.
Thanks, Cindy. Bye.